really, really has to do stuff. With
Water Environmental Services, Don?
Yes, I'm going to ask Mr. Greg Geist, Doug Waugh, and Chris Story up to the table. This is a policy session discussion about the 190 West partnership and recommendations about next steps and actions. So, Mr. Geist, are you going to lead us?
I will kick things off, yes. Chair Bernard, Commissioners, thanks for having us today. I'm Greg Geist, Director of Water and Environment Services, and I have Chris Story with County Council and Doug Waugh, our financial manager at WES. Before I get started on our official presentation, I wanted to extend a thanks to Chair Bernard and the Commissioners for a very thoughtful letter that was written in honor of our recently passed away employee, Michael Trent. I'm going to be presenting that letter to his family this afternoon at a tree planting ceremony at our Tri-City facility, and I think they will appreciate it, and I appreciate the gesture, so thank you. Getting right into it, what we're going to do today is, I'll start by framing the issue. Really what we're doing is we're following the board's direction from this past November when we were directed to effect the 190 partnership between, at the time, the Tri-City Service District and CCSD number one. So we're going to be asking generally for two actions or two recommendations today. The first being approval to add, to amend that 190 agreement and add Surface Water Management Agency of Clackamas County to that. So I'll step through that. The other part is we're going to be positioning CCSD number one to join the partnership, not at this fiscal year, but at the beginning of the next fiscal year. And there's some fairly detailed and complicated financial actions that need to be taken that Chris will step through with that. So basically, proposal on two actions. If you support the direction, then I'll explain to you kind of what you're going to be seeing over the next couple weeks with respect to how we're going to affect that integration of SWMAC. All right?
Are we all in support of that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So Surface Water Management Agency of Clackamas County was formed in the early 90s in response to, federal via state Clean Water Act requirements. We do surface water management in that area. The budget there is about $200,000 per year. It's fairly minimal. Fairly large area, though. It's the area of Clackamas County that drains to the Alton River. So what we, especially in light of the board's recent goal of having a countywide surface water management plan in place by 2020, and thinking about what it was going to mean when CCSD number one ultimately joins the 190 partnership, it only made sense from a staff perspective to have SWMAC in there too, again, to get that economy of scale, get the efficiencies, not have as many advisory bodies doing different things. So that's where we're at today. One thing I want to make clear about the SWMAC integration and the amendment that you would see is that this is for surface water services only. And there's very specifically in the report that says that it was not to include sanitary services of any kind in that Stafford Triangle. I believe part of that's in the Stafford Triangle. So I know that that's a sensitive issue. So if you approve of including SWMAC in the 190 partnership, what you're going to see is an amendment to the 190 agreement that was put to the board in November to allow SWMAC in, as well as some supplemental budget that's going to allow us to transition that budget and that budget committee into the 190 entity. And you'd be seeing that over the next few weeks.
And then you're going to transfer assets.
Correct.
Just a question on with that proviso, you kind of stated that the purpose of SWMAC is not to do expand beyond anything else.
Right.
So just structurally, process-wise, joining them all together, how do you keep them separate? Or are the activities separate? Is that a different budget used on a budgetary basis or a management basis? How do you separate that action or that intent to be that intent?
Go ahead, Doug.
We're going to create a separate series of surface water funds in WES, as well as a separate series of sanitary sewer funds in WES, so that those two actions will be completely separate still.
And the proposed amendment that you would see to integrate SWMAC into the West entity will create a third rate zone. Right now, we have a rate zone that consists of the Tri-City Service District and a separate rate zone of the CCSD 1. You'll see a third rate zone that's SWMAC. So we can distinguish from areas that are receiving sewer only, in CCSD 1 where they're getting sewer and surface water, and in SWMAC where they're getting surface water only services.
Refresh my memory, is any of SWMAC in the incorporated areas, or is it solely in the non-incorporated areas?
It doesn't cover cities. It does have a partnership with River Grove.
River Grove.
I believe the city of River Grove asks SWMAC to help with their surface water program. Okay.
What do you need? A vote?
You tell me. I mean, we need direction on whether you would like to see an amendment to the 190 agreement and associated budget documents.
Bringing that back to a regular business meeting for formal action. So if there's general board direction to proceed, staff is that direction it can move.
As recommended.
Okay.
Yes.
Option three.
Yeah. And the rationale will be ideally getting all surface water and maybe being more efficient. So into the ratepayers.
Correct.
Efficiency and more efficient.
Right, and we will be working with the regulatory agencies to consolidate our permitting and our reporting and all that stuff too. Yeah.
Right.
And you will be seeing those further actions to affect this later this month. We've got a tentative schedule. Actually, it's fairly well laid out, and we've worked with Mary and others to. Should you choose to do this, we will be ready to bring what you need to do to approve.
So, is there any potential of future for MS4 permitting from that standpoint? Is there any opportunity to, for the benefit of the permit or serving the needs of the permit, to partner with the incorporated areas that are in that basin?
We are co-permittees right now on our MS4 permit with the cities, and we do quite a lot of, you know, we do sampling, for example, for Gladstone and their analysis and report and do some reporting as well. The way I see it, and this is, you know, maybe a somewhat of a hedge against future regulations, but as Don's aware, in Washington State, things like municipal separate storm sewer permits and even the what we call TMDL implementation plans, which are those kind of watershed plans that need to be put in place to address a wide variety of county activities, those apply across the county. The fact that Oregon has kind of carved out these areas, these urbanized areas, is a bit unusual, and I think that long term the county is going to have obligations across the county in the Malala watershed, the Clackamas, mm-hmm. the Sandy, as well as the Tualatin. So I think it will position us well for responding to that. Yeah,
it's unfortunate whether it's wastewater or it's surface water. I think people some jurisdictions have lost sight of the gravity and the importance of the permits, both the MS4 permit and the NPDES permit. And I think that coordination amongst ourselves, that being all those jurisdictions, is highly important for basically water quality. And federal regulations aren't going to get, I don't believe, any easier
right
anytime soon.
Well, they'll try, but it won't be successful.
So that was one of two.
One of two. So
you want to run through Tri-City first?
Well, no, I mean, it's basically the same thing. For Tri-City, you will see a supplemental budget, regulatory assignments, contracts being transferred, and a bill of sale for the physical assets. That's not something that you will take action on. That was already authorized in the 190 partnership agreement. So that will be fairly uneventful.
Right. Everything except the supplemental budget, because we're, in essence, ahead of schedule. We had anticipated rolling the full integration in by 2018, but we think with both Tri-City and now with your direction, SWMAC, we can actually bring the West entity and those component units online in 2017. So because we're ahead of schedule, you'll see a supplemental budget for this fiscal year to allow transfers of their current budgeted authority into the West entity, in particular their I'm sure Doug will speak in more detail to it, but you know, ending fund balances, reserves, capital accounts, those sorts of things, resources that were not expended this year, will be transferred up and be the basis of operations for the West entity in the coming fiscal year.
And just to reiterate, those moving forward, as we do now, the surface water funds and programs and activities will be kept separate from the sanitary work that we do. And just to give you an idea of scale, the SWMAC budget is about $200,000 this year. The operating budget for Tri-City is close to $8 million. So it's kind of a drop in the, not a drop in the bucket, but it's dwarfed by the Tri-City budget.
The second issue relates to CCSD number one. So as we look at the integration of the various service districts into the West entity to get that regionalized cohesive whole that you've directed us to perform, CCSD one has a bit more variables. One, the size of its budget is substantially larger even than the Tri-Cities budget. But second, it has outstanding debt. And the outstanding debt is the key variable that we want to make sure that we do right, because one of the clear commitments from this board is that no one in Tri-City or now SWMAC will have to pay for the legacy debt that CCSD1 incurred in bringing itself up to what was then called capacity parity. So as we looked through the existing debt of CCSD1, that's issued pursuant to a master order. And the master order lays out basically covenants that you agree to with the purchasers of the bond about the manner in which we will conduct the operations of our business and the way we will conduct ourselves going forward. The odd thing is we just refinanced this debt in August of last year, and we apparently did too good a job because we refinanced it at the bottom of the market. We saved the ratepayers about $7.5 million to the point where it really does not make financial sense to do anything else with the debt other than leave it as it is. So as part of looking at the ways to make sure that the West entity works going forward, what we were looking at is assigning that debt over to the West entity, having the CCSD1 rate zone alone pay for that debt, but then you have a debt that establishes the credit rating of the WES entity. And in essence, it's able to impute the good credit rating of CCSD1 into the WES entity. But two, you don't have the problem of issuing new debt, for example, with our solids handling project, from two different entities. Because you want to be able to, our typical way of issuing them is on a parity basis. So no one is superior or inferior to the other, but everyone feels like they have an equal claim for a repayment. And that's certainly the way you get the best credit rating. So how do we get that debt into the West entity so that we are able to take advantage of that? That's the conversation we're having right now. So we've provided to you in the staff report five different options. And I'll again flag the oddity in that if this was a private entity, there would already be bond covenants in there that would easily handle this without any conversation, because it's quite common for entities to have mergers, acquisitions, transfers while bonds are outstanding. So there's a whole mechanism in the private sector to deal with it. But in the municipal bond market, it's a rarity, and so it's not really contemplated in the documents. So we looked at the various paths that you could follow to get that debt located in the West entity. The first is to take a vote. There's always the process of amending the documents by a vote, so you get explicit permission to say that it's okay. The odd thing is, of course, you're going out and having to find all the people that hold the bonds, which is surprisingly not an obvious thing. We typically deal through proxies in holding companies. If you have an account at Merrill Lynch, Merrill Lynch is technically the holder of the bond, and then they have their own internal process of laying out which of their individual members holds the debt, and so you have to sort of pay fees to discover that information. We investigated that, and it looked to be quite expensive to discover the information, and then you would have to actually go out and do road shows, try to invite people, get track them down, and give them a presentation about why it's not a big deal.
In New York.
To do. Yeah, so frankly, we liked that idea because we thought there might be some travel involved, but then ultimately we decided that was probably not a wise use of ratepayer resources. The second one is to refinance. That's typically the way, if there's a question about bond covenants, you're like, well, we'll just refinance. But we, like I noted, did too good a job, and actually we it's prohibitively expensive to consider refinancing that to get the votes through a refinance and reissuance process. The third is the document does contemplate changes, and that says if it's in the regional judgment of the district, in this case you as the governing body of CCSD1, that there's no material adverse effect to the bondholders by allowing the debt to be transferred. You just adopt that amendment and make clear that it's for the specific and limited purpose that we've talked about today. Option four, there's also a mechanism that allows transfer of some assets, but not the debt. So you could see some level of contribution from CCSD1 into the West entity, but it wouldn't achieve the getting the debt on the parity basis that we believe would be useful. The fifth is you could leave it alone and leave the debt in CCSD 1 for its entire term of 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. 20 years. And then after it's all expired, then you would do the full integration into the WES entity. We consider that to be the least attractive option. So in considering the five, we recommend option 3 because we think both ratepayers will not be materially or adversely impacted. In fact, would probably experience some level of benefit because the new WES entity would actually be considered by the bond market to be financially more sound because it's a larger ongoing enterprise.
So do we agree on option 3?
Yep, mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
So for implementation over the next probably 6 to 9 months, we'll be working with consultants to appropriately draft the amendment to the master order that will be brought forward to you. We'll also talk about particular findings, much like you do in land use. We would like to be able to provide you with some evidentiary support for the no materiality and no adverse effect from outside experts to sort of make clear to everybody exactly what's going on. And we'll roll out that in the next fiscal year.
It's a tough decision when number 3 says no adverse findings.
Yeah. It was the 1.5 million in the first couple options that drove our recommendation. That's certainly for sure. Yeah. We are trying to minimize ratepayer expenditures.
So taking into account your full presentation, everything you stated, just want to just clarify. So my understanding is that by doing this, we will WES and everything within it, the 190, Tri-City, I mean, all those operations and assets will suddenly have standing with bondholders, and that will be a huge win for us in a sense that we don't have to build any kind of credit rating.
Yeah, in essence, it'll be able to inherit CCSD 1's good credit rating. So when we're looking at going to the market as the WES entity to do the solids handling, we'll be able to use that. We've actually had preliminary conversations with the rating agency, and they've expressed an openness to using that path.
It's hard to convey what the savings would be to the ratepayers, but that's pretty substantial.
Yeah. Yes.
So win-win, basically.
Yeah. Well, the good credit rating of CCSD1 resulted in a $7.5 million savings the last time around, so we're hoping we can bring similar savings to the ratepayers in the future.
I just want to add one quick thing back on Surface Water Management Agency. So another thing that, should we pursue this, what you will see in early June is the rules and regulations, the ordinance needs to be updated. So by essentially bringing the surface water and the sanitary ordinances together so that WES has appropriate rules and regs for that entity. And longer term, we will be revisiting those in some detail with an eye towards the future of a completely consolidated or when the 190 is fully formed.
So it seems like the only thing other than this we need to do is change our goal. We need to amend our goal. Mm-hmm. Talk about how we should do that.
The which goal now? The
commission's
2020 goal?
2020 goals.
Okay.
Maybe we can hit it in 2019.
Because it sounds like that's impossible.
Go ahead, John, first.
Well, I think that as far as the 2020, I mean, I think by doing this, and then we're going to have the surface water. Yeah,
okay. I'm mixing the two up, the flood insurance.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say, I mean, there's actually a useful relationship there, and while you may want to re-examine your goal with respect to the community rating system, but what we do and what we look for in the future with regard to storm and surface water management in the county may actually play a significant role in a solution towards addressing the issue you had your just prior study session about. So
yeah, it was mentioned in one of the things you could do to get a better rating. Yes.
I just wanted to mention, I had a conversation with a physician friend of mine the other day who said, I said, what do you think is the biggest breakthrough in medical, you know, safety and whatever in the 21st century? And he said, it's all infrastructure. It's water and sewer and that. Yep. And it was still interesting with all the kinds of research that's going on with genomics and, you know, all kinds of things that are moving forward, that the physicians are still saying it's the infrastructure that really protects public health in a way that is unparalleled. Yeah.
Oh, did you have something? Yeah, I do. So, Greg, being that I have some extra time and you're in a hot seat.
See you doing math over there, so I'm going to prepare myself.
So I don't forget. Actually, now just give me another one. So. No, in all seriousness, one of the issues I've got last year was my recommendation when it came to the budget time is my request to have a review of the SDCs. And unless I missed a meeting, I'm not sure we've had that. And my concern there is actually loss on behalf of the constituents, that the existing constituents, that any future development may not be paid for if those particular areas that I'm referring to may or may not be, or let's just say, assuming that they are under-collecting. If they're not, that's great. But I think I'd like to get an update on that. I don't expect you to respond here at this time, but we're almost a year later, and
right.
You know, budget is around the corner. It's 30 days from now, and I voted primarily. That was one of my issues when I voted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up. The second one I want to point out is that, you know, with continued urbanization of in the areas of CCSD-1, within the boundaries of CCSD-1, existing facilities, flooding issues with existing facilities that are, you know, decades-long issues, but are getting worse because of urbanization. I don't think some of these measures, best practices are working. Water detention, retention, all those policies, and having discussions with DTD, I think that's something I want to see some better integration on and have a better understanding how we're going to solve that, because the ground doesn't perk very well, and we're doing a lot of things on the presumption that it will. And it's clearly it's not failing because things are getting worse, not getting better. Granted, it's a wet season, but these issues have been going on for a long time, even on drier, rainy seasons. And thirdly is, maybe you can't answer this one, as an ETA, when we will actually have a suggestion on a composition of an advisory committee for WES.
I'll start with the middle one first. I'll start with the budget, SDC. So at the time, when I became the director, we had a capital improvement plan, which is the basis of an SDC calculation, that really, frankly, was not all that well developed. It contemplated some growth and the need for expansion, but as far as asset replacement and dealing with the collection system, which we've got over 300 miles and 16 big pump stations out in our system, I didn't feel that we had the proper technical foundation to move forward with SDCs until we had, I'm calling it a comprehensive master plan, but until we know what we need to build for growth, what our asset replacement obligations are going to be, and what our obligations are going to be out in the collection system. You just heard today we've got a pipe that literally rusted through over in West Lynn. I believe that this summer when we get that report back, we are going to have some obligations out there, and I want to make sure that we get that. But I disagree that we need to revisit SDCs and do it fairly soon. As far as the advisory committee structure, I hope to come back to this board in early summer, probably June, with a recommendation, and I will be talking to you prior to that. And the flooding issues. When you see our budget this year, Ron Waring is in the back of the room, I think. We are going to commission a study of our rules and regulations, and not just cleaning them up. They've been essentially what they've been since either the 70s on the sanitary side or the early 90s on the surface water side. So we're hiring, and it's a significant amount of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, that we're going to have people, engineering firms, consultants come in, take a look at our geology, take a look at our geomorphology, take a look at our obligations from a regulatory standpoint, and completely revamp our rules. It's well overdue, and it's going to be technically based. So you will see that.
I just want to on the flooding issue, which is, and I love to be briefed on it, and as the former liaison to WES, I'm pretty familiar, but it was 6 years ago that I got on the commission, and I wanted to really see some practical improvements on the surface water side of things,
mm-hmm.
from a flooding standpoint, from maybe even looking a little bit better than best practices, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't think that, I know that you've hired someone to do that.
Yep.
And you're master planning for that, right?
And we're developing rules and, yeah.
But I haven't got, I guess, a sense, the confidence that flooding, current flooding in the area, which is getting worse, and some of the policies that we have control over
mm-hmm.
are actually going to be effective, because there are areas where there have been historically wet in the last 6 years, which seem to be getting, because of development.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think the retention or detention is actually working, and I think some of the measures I got concerns about, and also the cost of applying that. So
yep.
I want to see something more aggressive here soon.
Okay, point taken.
And I think it's fair to note that I believe Wes's capital plan includes construction of a fairly large regional detention facility on what's called the Carley property, which is just below the Chow site,
mm-hmm.
To try and support the industrial area to make sure we don't have major problems there.
Right. I think
that
what
should be rolling out this summer, right?
I think what Paul was referring to, too, it's kind of a death by duck bite kind of thing. You have developments that go in piecemeal. We have certain rules and regulations that apply to that, certain specifications that we expect them to meet. That does include making sure that they can pass that downstream. But the rules and the requirements are not perfect. And then you start piling those on top of each other and moving up hillsides. And that's a big part of what we need to look at, is that cumulative impact to the watershed and to flooding. So.
All right, with that, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So 1:30.
See you at 1:30.